Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is the Gospel just read, taken from St. Matthew chapter 9. You can imagine the Father's dread here, can't you? In St. Luke's version, we learn that the man's name was Jairus. We don't know his daughter's name. We only know that she was a young girl, about 12 years old. She is at the beginning of her journey, and far too young to have her life snuffed out. We don't know why she was sick. We only know that she was sick, even dead. And that Jairus, this ruler of the Jews, that he would do anything to help his daughter. Anything. Jairus comes to the great physician, to Jesus. He falls to his knees and begs Jesus to help. And wonder of wonders, Jesus agrees. There are times in our lives when it seems as though the first thing that needs to happen is that we have to get God's attention. Remember how that Old Testament reading starts off? Wake up, God! We've got needs here. You're not paying enough attention to us. Snap to it. But things go terribly haywire for this father. While they are on their way to heal his daughter, Jesus is interrupted. Now, it's a worthy interruption, don't get me wrong. A woman with a hemorrhage of blood for 12 years touches Jesus' garment, believing that God would heal it. What could be more worthy than that? But this father, well, it seems as though, can you imagine what he was going through? They're on their way to heal his daughter. His daughter is sick, probably dead. And Jesus just stops for this woman. What is he thinking? He's acting as though nothing is wrong. He's acting as if he is in control. Don't you know my daughter is dead? How can you wait? Why aren't you running to help me, Lord? Get on with it. There are times in our lives when it seems as though God has been interrupted in taking care of us. There's always someone who is more sick. There's always someone who is more broken, more in need. God may have started out with me, but frankly, it seems like he gets distracted. It is easy to convince ourselves that we really aren't that important to God. Surely he has bigger problems to solve than mine. And so that quiet despair sets in. What are we to do? What are we to do when healing doesn't happen as quickly as we'd like? What are we to do when things aren't going according to my plan? My plan is reasonable, after all. It makes sense. It may even be good, taking into account everything that God has to deal with. Because obviously, we all know what that is. The plan may make sense. Sometimes we go to God with a proposal in our prayers, a plan of how everything should go, and how he can fix things for you and I. Like a child going to their parents with the plan for the greatest sleepover ever. We go to God just knowing things are going to go our way. Not thy will, Lord, but mine be done. And yet our plans never seem to work out quite like that, do they? But we are not the first to have this experience. Moses had a plan. Then along came a burning bush. I wonder if his plan included the Exodus and getting to the promised land. David had a plan. Did his plan include defeating Goliath, becoming king? I wonder if his plan included adultery with Bathsheba and murder along the way. Job had a plan. I'm pretty sure that Job's plan didn't include losing everything, almost life itself. And then there's Ruth. Did her plan include her husband dying in a foreign land and receiving Boaz as her kinsman redeemer? I doubt it. I wonder what Mary's plan was, the mother of our Lord. Did she plan on bearing the Son of God in her womb while remaining a virgin? I think it's fair to say that that wasn't her plan. Simon Peter had a plan. But when Jesus announced his impending death and suffering, Peter even went so far as to rebuke the very Son of God. Now that is confidence in your plan over God. Peter's plan ended up going horribly awry. And yet we are all the better for it. Even Jesus himself had a plan. Remember his words in the garden? "Not my will, but thine be done, O Lord." The Father's plan brought about the salvation of the world, but it also included suffering, hardship, rejection, and even death for the very Son of God. But notice something in all of these great plans: Moses, David, Job, Ruth, Mary, Peter, our Lord. In every one of these cases, the plans that they had made paled in comparison with what God had in store for them. Quite simply put, God's plan was far, far better than they could have ever imagined. Remember again the words of our Lord. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and wholeness, and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." This is the thing, beloved. God has plans for you. Now, God's plans for you are bigger and greater than you can possibly envision. God has bigger plans for you than to heal the sicknesses of your body, the weakness of your life. God, well, he's thinking way bigger than that. His plans are forgiveness. His plan is resurrection, communion with him. His plan is eternal life itself. His plan for you is amazing, beyond what you can even think possible, beyond what you could scheme or figure out. In the meantime, though, it looks as though God's plans have been interrupted. Healing takes longer than we'd like. Forgiveness, well, forgiveness isn't as obvious as I wish it was. I'm still sick. You're still feeble. Things don't always go the way that you want. Your life is not always turning out as you expect it. What are you to do? This, beloved, is why God gives you the sacrament of the altar, his very body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. God gives you this sacrament so that you can see, touch, taste, smell, and know that the Lord is good, that his will for you is good, and that all things work out according to his plan. Unsure of where to turn? Flee to Jesus. Don't think God is on your side anymore? Flee to Jesus. Is death looming so that you fear the unknown, what is coming? Flee to Jesus. In him you have life and hope, and a future that is secure and whole. Jairus' daughter was healed. More than healed. Jesus raised her from the dead. Now the world, crowds, They'd laugh. They couldn't believe Jesus could do something so great, so amazing as that. But God's plans are so wonderful that the world, they can't get it. Sometimes the world laughs at your hope, scorns your faith in a hidden God who reveals himself when and where he will. But no matter, beloved, God has your future firmly in the palm of his hand. A resurrection is coming. Your body will change. Your life will be renewed. You will enter into the eternal rest with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. Oh, taste and see how gracious the Lord is. Blessed is the one who trusts in him. Believe it for Jesus' sake.